Our first scripture reading today is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And then from John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." And Psalm 23 is probably the most familiar, the most comforting, the most popular psalm in all of the psalms. It's often used for funerals. It seems to be the one psalm that everybody knows when someone's in the hospital and they're not doing well or they're very ill, and you go in to be with them. If you start reciting Psalm 23, so many people will follow along because it's one of those psalms that they've committed to memory. Somehow this psalm has been associated with death. And I think it's probably because it was originally translated, "Though I walk through the valley of death," but it's simply a dark valley. If you've noticed, all of the verbs in Psalm 23 are present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Everything that we need in life is provided by God. God provides pasture, not just for food, but also for rest. Supplies water. Supplies those basic needs of all life. God keeps the sheep safe. Safe from wild animals. Safe from accidents. God guides the sheep. God calls the sheep. The sheep follow. God guides them in paths that don't lead into danger. Paths that aren't safe to go on. God leads the sheep on those safe paths. God offers comfort and goodness and mercy and compassion anytime it's needed. The psalmist said, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me." It's right there. If you turned around, you could see it. And it's right there waiting for any time that you need that you need some compassion, that you need mercy, that you need comfort. God provides, for God is there with us. God is there even if we do go through those dark valleys. And dark valleys can be any number of things that people experience. It's not just death, but there are all sorts of places of darkness. But if we claim that psalm is one that we like, that makes us sheep. And I'm sure you've heard it before. Sheep aren't real smart, and they need someone to lead them in order to keep them safe. Sheep are totally, totally dependent on the shepherd. If there was no shepherd, they would not live. They would either be carried off by a wild animal, bandits would take them, they'd fall over a cliff. Israel's got lots of cliffs out there. Get stuck, just all sorts of terrible things would happen. Sheep are totally dependent on the shepherd. That metaphor of being led by a shepherd also works for how we sheep should be with our children. As we follow God, as we learn from God, as we come to understand God's love, as we come to understand what it is that God wants us to do in our lives, we then provide that to our children. We provide them with all of the things they need, just as the shepherd provides for the sheep. We provide them with shelter and food and clothing. Heat in the winter and coolness in the summer. We provide them with guidance. We try to get them to understand that certain things are not real wise to do. We share our faith with them. We offer comfort when they're sick or when they're hurt. We show mercy when they need it. And we're compassionate. Those children, particularly the younger they are totally dependent on their parents for all of the things that a good shepherd provides to the sheep. That metaphor of God as a shepherd is so powerful that it's one that Jesus claims for himself. Our verses today follow where Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Not only claiming himself as shepherd, but identifying himself with the name of God, I am. In the reading, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's in the temple. And the religious leaders, those people who are not happy with Jesus, and that's what John always means when he says the Jews, came up to Jesus. They had to have heard what he's done. They know all of the works he's done. They know the miracles and the healings and the teachings. But they don't believe. So they ask him, "Are you the Messiah or are you not? Tell us simply, yes or no, please. We want an answer that we can understand." And Jesus' response indicates that "Are you the Messiah?" isn't as simple as they think it is, the answer to that. It's much more complex than that. First, Jesus says, "I have told you, and you don't believe me. My works testify to me. You know the works that I've done. You know that the works that I do are the works of God." But that's not what they want in a Messiah. They don't want a shepherd. They don't want someone that nourishes and takes care of and shows compassion and mercy and love and eats with sinners and other horrible people. They want someone who's going to come in there and overthrow the Romans and bring them back to their glory days of King David and King Solomon. That's what those leaders want. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah because, as Jesus said, they're not his sheep. They don't know his voice. They don't follow him. Well, the thing about knowing Jesus as Messiah, and sometimes the disciples had trouble with that, sometimes we have trouble with that, it's not a matter of using logic, of taking a set of data and reading it and analyzing it and saying, yep, that's right, the Messiah, I can tell just by all these things on this list. Knowing Jesus as Messiah is being willing to go past your preconceived ideas of what a Messiah is. It's about a reorientation of who you are. It's a reorientation of your whole set of values and systems. It's a turning toward God as the center of your life. It's a reorientation is about giving up those preconceived ideas that you have. It's about being open to God and to new possibilities. It's about hearing Jesus say, the Father and I are one. And understanding that Jesus is talking about a functional unity. The works that Jesus does, they're not just the same works that God does as the Good Shepherd. They are the works of God. They are the works that God does, did as Good Shepherd. And now Jesus does that same work. They're works of compassion and mercy, of goodness and guidance, meeting the needs of everyone in life. Welcoming strangers, welcoming outcasts, letting people know that they are loved and beloved of God and that everyone has worth. The religious leaders were sure that they knew who the Messiah would be and exactly what the Messiah would do. And it didn't fit with what Jesus was doing or saying or being. And that's why they decided they needed to ask. You know, the disciples had problems with that also. When they heard some of what Jesus was saying was going to happen to him as the Messiah, we're not going to let that happen. They had their preconceived ideas of who and what the Messiah was, and they were very similar to the religious leaders' ideas. And then Jesus died. And then Jesus was resurrected, and they met that resurrected Lord, and it completely reoriented their lives. It completely changed. It blew open the gates of their brains, so to speak. You always hear that a lot on commercials. I'm blown away. Well, they were blown away. All of a sudden, something new and different had happened. And they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Sometimes we and everyone else who reads Scripture need to hear that answer that Jesus gives, because sometimes we get so set in our ways that we think that what we know about God is all there is to know. That there's nothing beyond that, that we have all the answers. We know exactly what God will do, when God will do it, and how God will do it. We know who God is and who God isn't. But you know, our God is too small most times. We need a wake-up call. We may have grown up in the church, have been a Christian all our life, never had any sense of a conversion or a turning or a reorientation. But sometimes we need that. We need that reminder of what God's name is. I am. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I will cause to happen what I will cause to happen. Everything that says, I, God, will make those decisions. It is my choice. I will be who I will be. None of us can know God fully. It's why we have so many different denominations, why there are so many different faith traditions. And sometimes those faith traditions get caught up in saying what we believe and what we teach is the truth, and there's nothing beyond that. And if you're not with us, then you're against us, and you're against God. One of the best things I think ever happened to the Roman Catholic Church is Pope Francis. What a man. What a man of God. That we could all be like him. Think of what the world would look like. Sometimes we need God to shake us up. We need an experience of God that lets us understand God is love, but God is more. We don't have to know it all. We have a piece of the truth. That's all we need. It's enough to get us by. So when you find yourself thinking you know everything, well, you could call me. I'll tell you. Likewise, if I think I know everything, I'll call you and you can tell me. Hopefully God will intervene in your life in such a way that it will make a difference, that it will reorient you towards who God is, the great I Am. Amen.